This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of LabCast. I'm Kevin Kane, and today I'll be talking with Paul Higgins about new trends he's seeing in business models. Paul is a consultant with Rapid Innovation Group, a UK-based strategy and execution firm that focuses on helping young companies accelerate their growth and achieve leadership in specific markets. He's particularly interested in helping early-stage startups become market leaders in small segments and then expand into new markets or territories. His expertise includes demand generation and partnering strategies, and he's worked across a variety of industries, including e-commerce, retail, healthcare, hospitality, and the UK public sector. Paul, welcome to LabCast, and thanks for joining us today. We're really happy to have you here.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So as I mentioned in my introduction, what we're looking at today is really new trends that you're seeing in business models. And I thought, you know, before we get into that, why don't we start off by really defining what you mean by business model? Can you do that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a term that kind of means a lot of different things to different people. I think my favorite kind of definition is one that came from Alexander Osterwalder, who developed the business model canvas, which I know is in use in a lot of kind of startup incubators at the moment. And his thoughts on what a business model means is he said it was the rationale of how an organization creates, delivers, and captures value. So how an organization creates, delivers, and captures value. So in other words, you're looking at the whole business. You're looking at how you put together your product or service, how you attract customers, and then how you get paid. So in a kind of traditional retail setting, how you put together your product, how you create your lemonade or something, how you set up your stall, and then how you get paid is how you attract customers and how you get your money for your product or service. If all of that generates profit at the end of the day, then you have a viable business model. So that's really kind of what I have in mind when I talk about business models.
Okay, and that kind of sounds like a very theoretical description. So can you give us some more concrete, practical examples of what you mean?
Okay, so what we often see is ambitious entrepreneurs come to us and say, you know, we're struggling with a sales problem. We're struggling to generate revenue in the right way. They often frame it as a sales problem, as wanting to go faster, as wanting to hit a certain target by the end of the year. It's often an indicator that business model is the problem. And so, you know, some examples of that could be, you know, if they're in the B2B sector, traditionally you would see models like the kind of inside sales model, where you have an internal sales team on the phones trying to phone up customers and sell a product or service. You have your kind of door-to-door salesmen or direct sales teams. You have the kind of indirect sales models as well. So selling through partners, selling through other kind of channels or distribution methods. So those are all kind of examples of B2B business models. What's interesting at the moment, I think, is because of a lot of kind of trends in technology, a lot of new distribution channels are opening up, and that's allowing organizations both on the B2B and B2C to develop new business models, like the kind of marketplace type business models or freemium business models that weren't really viable a few years ago.
So can you give us examples of that? I mean, I guess the why I'm asking is that the origin of this actual conversation with you was that blog post that you wrote where you talked a little bit about the difference between traditional enterprise sales and the Yammer approach. And it sounds like that's one of those tools that people might be using. So could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the Yammer story is really fascinating. It's in an area kind of referred to as enterprise social networking. So it's kind of around employee productivity. And Yammer is essentially a kind of like an internal Facebook for enterprises. So it encourages better collaboration between employees and better communication and so on. And this is really interesting because I met with a couple of organizations in Europe that were doing something similar but using a very traditional kind of direct B2B sales model. So they would have an internal sales team. They would try and get in front of a corporate buyer of large corporate prospects, and they would try and sell on you know, your software as a service type subscription model. And they found it very hard. You know, the interesting thing was they didn't find it difficult to get in. They didn't find it difficult to get access to the potential buyer. You know, a lot of expansion stage companies struggle to get in front of the budget holder, but that wasn't the case here. They managed to get a good audience, but you know, for whatever reason, the proposition wasn't kind of compelling enough. You know, they really struggled to get through the corporate buying process. They struggled to get the right level of data or the right level of information that would compel an organization at enterprise level to buy this. What Yammer did was kind of go from the bottom up rather than going from the top down. So they allowed individuals in an enterprise, in an organization, to sign up and use it for free without having to access the corporate buyer, the corporate budget. And the rationale behind that was that if they got one person in a company to start using it, they would share that with their colleagues, their work colleagues. And as that kind of internal network grew, they would have a case to take to the corporation, the kind of budget holder. And once you could say, you know, half your organization is already using our tool, you have a very compelling case. But it's also not the only the only possible business model. You know, Yammer used this kind of freemium approach to get in. But another organization called Huddle, which does something a bit similar and is also quite a successful organization, backed by Eden Ventures, a great VC in London, they tried the freemium model and didn't have such success with it. They realized that trying to get group decisions made starting from a freemium approach wasn't getting them where they wanted to be fast enough. So they started with freemium and went back to the kind of direct sales model. So what we're seeing is because of a couple of the, you know, the kind of technology trends like better access to broadband, lower cost of storage, faster web-based processing power, things like that, it's really allowing business models like the freemium model to compete effectively with a traditional direct sales model. And it's becoming genuinely a choice for a lot of tech startups.
So it sounds like there's actually quite a few applications that you could use Yammer for. So I'm curious to know, is it something that you guys at Rapid Innovation Group use?
We're not actually using Yammer, funnily enough. No, we're using another one called Podio, which does something similar, and I think has a similar business model. But it's certainly a great tool, and you know, I think it's that kind of collaboration software is, you know, it can be pretty valuable, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've done a really good job of outlining a couple of different types of business models for us. So I guess the next logical question would be, how do you figure out which business model is right for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, if you're a CEO of a growth expansion stage company, it's the important thing to think about here is you've got to know how things get easier for your business, how your business becomes sustainable or scalable. Because that really makes a huge difference about where you compete and ultimately which business model you should be running with. If you feel like you want to compete by being a domain expert in a particular sector, becoming the market leader in a segment, then, you know, you might want to look at the very sort of targeted, research-driven, consultative sales team competing on industry expertise, and that means that your business model is likely to be a kind of traditional enterprise sales model. If, on the other hand, you're competing by trying to become the obvious choice by trying to create user habits and be associated with what you do, you know, almost in the same way way that Amazon's associated with e-commerce or eBay's associated with kind of a marketplace, then you need to be majoring on user experience, on customer support. You're competing on design and usability, and in those kind of businesses, you know, where you're really your value is going to be based on the volume of users and how your users are using your service, your product. The number of users is very important there. So you've got to be careful that your business model doesn't constrict your user growth, especially in the early days. So that's where models like freemium come from. I think it really does come back to how you want to compete, how you want to create value, deliver value, and capture value. And you know, ultimately, the decision will come back to where you want to compete and where you want to be positioned as the most valuable company you can be.
Great. Well, Paul, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your insights into the new trends in business models. Before I let you go, can you give our listeners a sense of how they can be in touch with you if they like?
Absolutely, yeah. So let me give you a quick plug for my consulting company, Rapid Innovation Group. It's a boutique consulting company in London that helps growth and expansion stage companies around the world on strategy and execution. So that means we work with companies to go from really being a startup to finding the right business model, building capability, scaling, and ultimately getting to the right exit. There's information about us at rapidinnovation.co.uk, and you can also reach out to me on Twitter, which is at Paul Higgins with a Z at the end. So PaulHigginz.
Great. Thanks again for joining us today, Paul.
Pleasure. Thanks very much.